Peace be with all of you. We thank God for giving us the chance to preach the Word of God. I remember some years ago, I had the time to share on the book of Acts. And back then, the website was not so established, and so the messages were not recorded. But I remember after I preached the book of Acts back in those years, God gave me a very clear conviction. Because after sharing that whole series of message, God brought me to China. And so 3 times a year, I've done mission works in China. And as I went through the different cities, I met all kinds of churches and peoples and leaders, including people who have believed wrongly. But I remember that as I preach wherever I go, the kind of passion and conviction and the courage that God has given me so that I can preach the word boldly, and I established God's church and I built up God's disciples all the way to 2017 when I was being arrested and being brought to the police station. And so from then on, I couldn't enter China again. And so the churches over there started to face some persecution, and they received certain wrong teachings, and certain divisions even happened. So in the whole process of that, the different scenes of the book of Acts appeared in my heart. I'm not saying that what Peter and Paul had experienced will be experienced by us. Of course, what the apostles encountered is far beyond what we encountered. And of course, the mystery of how they depend on the Holy Spirit is also what I'm trying to learn while I shepherd the Church of God and God's people. But at least when I'm being sent by the church for missions, I understood. So I know why the Lord has given us the book of Acts. Because the Holy Spirit's work on the holy people is certainly related to evangelism and the gathering of God's people and the building of God's church. And this has a direct relationship. Because we read that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And what kind of power is that? So the moment the word power appears, some people get very excited. Oh, it's like the power to command the winds and the rain and to stop the storm. And suddenly, when you lay your hands on whoever can rise up, and so the kind of power that brings about wonders and signs, and so they only see those kind of things as power. But the real power of the Holy Spirit will make sure that no other forces can oppose us, so that the gospel which we believe in and the gospel which God fulfills himself through weak people like us can be preached all the way to the ends of the world. So when we read the book of Acts, you must not say that, "Pastor, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a pastor, I'm just a lay believer." But you must listen carefully. It's not about whether you are the missionary or the pastor. If you think so, then it means that you do not understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do through what you have right now, not in future, your conditions, your gifts, your background, including your various encounters. Through all these things, the Holy Spirit is sending the gospel of God out. So you must not keep seeing the apostles and their work and some people's conditions, and you don't just beautify them and idealize them and come to the conclusion that only such people can perform those acts. Because in the book of Acts, there's all kinds of roles. And first, you must understand that the book of Acts is not written by God's disciples, the Lord's disciple, but it's written by Luke, who is a doctor. So he's similar to like the Lydia in Philippi, or in like the tent maker, Priscilla and Aquila, or just like Paul. He couldn't do anything in prisons, but the Holy Spirit guided him. Or maybe you will be like Stephen. He only preached a very grand sermon once, and then after that he was martyred. And through his sermon, the church was being persecuted, and later on you realize many other disciples, they were persecuted and scattered, and then they brought the gospel around. So no matter what your circumstances or conditions are, as long as your focus and your concern is on the gospel which the Holy Spirit wants to preach, and is on the church, and it's on the gathering of God's disciples, as long as your focus and your concerns are on these areas, then in the same way, you will also encounter the kind of Holy Spirit's work which the apostles also encountered. Now, if you just think that this book of Acts is just given for missionaries and pastors, then starting from the first message, you will not be able to absorb, because you will think it's not related to you. Because what the apostles, the kind of miracles that the apostles perform, you are not performing, and what they encountered, you are not encountering. So I must confirm with you that the same work of the Holy Spirit also can be manifested in our conditions and circumstances today. But you must clearly know that if we misunderstood the work of the Holy Spirit, and if we just treat the book of Acts as an account of the early church full of wonders and signs, and you try to find the encounters of the book of Acts in certain healing and deliverance kind of meeting, or new apostolic movement kind of meetings, and you try to imitate the work of Jesus in that way, actually that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. That is in fact the work of the evil spirit. And you may even blaspheme God's work and tear down God's church. So when we talk about the book of Acts, we must be very careful. We must bring out the work of the Holy Spirit clearly. And in order to bring out the clear and right work of the Holy Spirit, we must also bring out clearly the work of the evil spirit. Then also when we talk about the book of Acts, now we must understand that everybody, when they interpret and use the book of Acts, they all have different purposes. So we are all lay believers, but the Bible has no terms that is lay believers, but the Bible only talks about the Lord's disciples. If you are a one-day believer, you are a one-day disciple of Christ. So the book of Acts wants to tell us that on every disciple, what is the common work of the Holy Spirit? So through every disciple, their life and their background, they can witness for the Lord. So we live in this generation. We are living in a very important era. And when the internet appears, it is not such a difficult thing for the gospel to be preached to the ends of the world. So, but the problem of every era is not a problem of the methods and tools, but it's the problem of the heart. If your heart understood wrongly, or do not understand, or if your heart does not change, then you realize that your heart becomes a hindrance to God's word. But if you understood God's word correctly, the Holy Spirit will once again soften your heart and transform your heart. And so from the beginning of the book of Acts, it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. But before we carry on, today is an introduction. So in this introduction, we must first understand the whole context and background, and what are the conditions under which the book was written. So we must briefly understood. Now we know that God has given us four Gospels. But in the Bible, there is only one book that has accounts of the early church. No. The book of Acts is like a history book of the early church. So, an historical book concerning the early church. And before Jesus ascended to heaven, Jesus had promised the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So Jesus told his disciples, you must go and make disciples of all nations. And after that, he left. So the promise given by God, he promised the Holy Spirit, he promised to be with all the disciples to complete the work that God wants to complete. So that it's not by our own zeal, but we co-work with God. So the book of Acts is about God's promise, the promise and the fulfillment of God which he has given us before he ascended to heaven. So the four Gospels talk about the work of Jesus, and then it's linked to the work on every apostle and the epistles written for the church. So the book of Acts is a point of connection. Without the book of Acts, it's very hard for us to understand the epistles written by Paul, because it's hard for us to understand the background and the point of the book and what happened to that particular church. How was the church being built up, and what's the work of the Holy Spirit? So to understand this, you need to relate it back to the book of Acts, because that's the historical book in the New Testament. And when you refer to that, then you realize the book of Acts is so precious. This is a book that cannot be eliminated, because there's only one such book on the history of the early church. So Calvin says that this book is a treasure, because it records real people and real incidents, and they use the real people and real incidents to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. So some people say that this book is like a tonic. When we are weak, we need to drink tonic. So when your spirit is weak, you turn again to the book of Acts and you live within this book, then amazingly, you have that drive, you have that strength to propel you forward for the sake of the gospel, so that you can move forward courageously. So the real people and incidents in this book and the work of the Holy Spirit is being recorded in this book. If you clearly know this, then you realize that as you just read this book, you immediately realize the work of the Holy Spirit fill your heart. And a lot of scenes will appear before you. So I can even say this, that I want to bring out a very important emphasis. And this is one of the themes today. Now, because this book of Acts is so exciting and so impactful, it's like there's a lot of spectacular encounters, and we can profess together that this is the great work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. So in every incident and in the early church, what the saints and the apostles have encountered, this is publicly acknowledged as the work of the Holy Spirit. So from the past till now, in every church will compare itself to the early church. And so whatever happens in the early church, the modern church will get inspiration and vision and strength. But of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But we must also be careful about one thing. That is, we must not beautify the early church. Do not over beautify the early church. You know, sometimes we hear about the apostle, you know, when they preach 3,000, 5,000 people, they repent. So a lot of churches, they also go after this kind of encounters. And so Peter and Paul, they went to the prison, and then all the saints prayed together, and the doors of the prisons were thrown open. Now, if you merely understood the book of Acts in that way, then you just ask yourself, today, is that happening? Are the prison doors happening? are the prison doors opening, or when you take the handkerchief of certain famous pastor and you try to imitate Paul, do power flow out from their handkerchief? So we must understand, we must not over beautify what happened in the book of Acts. So, you know, like the apostles, when they see the sick, they lay hand on the sick, and then the sick rise up, and the crippled rise up, and people praise the Lord, and people think that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is the revival of the church. If you think in that way, then that is a serious mistake and huge misunderstanding, because then you are over beautifying the apostle and the encounters of the early church. So when we look at the early church, we must see that there's also a lot of problems within the early church. There's a lot of human weaknesses. There's a lot of difficulties in ministries. There's a lot of divisions in the early church. There's hypocrisy. There's immoral acts. There's also the rising of heresies. So you look at the whole of the Lord's church. They may be revived for a while, and after that, what happened? Most of you should have read the book of Acts before you come. So when the church of Jerusalem revived, Ananias and Sapphira, they deceived the Holy Spirit. So sometimes the church, they seem revival, but in a simple matter of the distribution of food, and then there are quarrels and there are grumblings, just like what happened to us also. It's the same. So when Stephen was martyred, and then the disciples went out to evangelize, and they did something very great. But after Stephen was martyred, many disciples, it's not because they are bold, but because they are being forced by persecution to escape and flee the place because of persecution. But as they fled, the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit also led them to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So what you must see is the greatness of the Holy Spirit, not the greatness of humans. We are not supposed to over-beautify the early church. No matter how anointed the apostles were, they are just still humans. So the perfect and all-powerful Holy Spirit did wonderful things on people. So as we look at this one by one, we will know that in actual fact, it's all God. Although the church has problems within and outside the church, but even so, within this, there is the faithful protection of the Lord, and God also guides the church faithfully. So when the apostles and the church is being led by the Holy Spirit and they walk step by step, then they overcome one after another difficulties. And so they reform the church of God, they strengthen the church of God. So we know how is the early church like. That will also reflect how the modern church is. But one thing I want to say, which is absolute, that the church is definitely built by Christ. Our Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church." And we thought the church is built by human hands. No, it's not built by pastors, but the church is built by Christ. And the church is kept by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit anoints the church so that the church can be used to witness to the world. So up to this point, I'm not sure whether you can sense it, that the Lord is currently keeping our church. Especially, we know now we are living in this pandemic, we will have that kind of feeling. No, our recent daily cases also rise. And so some people's faith could be shaken, but in such a situation, we still gather. Today, we still have 3 services, and later, 5 adults will be baptized. Yesterday, 5 have been baptized. And we know the true and real work of the Holy Spirit many a times bring us to a very earnest state, solemn state. And so in crisis, there's still evangelism, still baptism, and so on. If you say, let's not be so nervous and so be tense, let's not take the risk, we just be peaceful, and on Christmas Day, we just go and watch a musical. But let me tell you, if you're like this, then you really do not understand the work of the Holy Spirit. If you read through the book of Acts and you understood the word of the work of God, then you realize that in our very comfortable society, the kind of Christianity which we created is opposite from the book of Acts. Of course, if God didn't lead us to a certain point, we don't have to force it. But you must know that as we follow the steps of the Holy Spirit, there will be times of revival, but more often there will be times of battles and sowing the seed and running the race and being in a tense situation. Otherwise, how can you see the greatness of God and the Holy Spirit? How can the Holy Spirit stir up your weak hearts to eliminate all the obstacles such as in impossible situation? You actually just want to care about your own life, but the Holy Spirit led you to evangelize. And that is the great, great work of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, as we lead the Church of God and do the work of God, sometimes certain undesirable situations arise and there are divisions and quarrels. But I tell you, when there need to be a division, there should be a division. When apostles move around to preach in the synagogues, the Jews who believe in God were there, and there are also false teachers. And when the word has, when the word is being slanted, he brought out the disciples. So is he the culprit to divide the church? But we know when division is necessary, we must divide. So I told the Lord that I will surely not divide church which are sound and reformed. But if the church is being led by wolves and hired hands, and if the kind of gospel that they are preaching is not the Lord's gospel, but is man-made gospel, then I don't even need to do anything, but God Himself will lead out the sheep who belong to the Lord. And that will surely happen. It happened in the book of Acts. Today it's also happening. So this is a warning that God is showing the church. So do not just talk about revival. But at the core of the book of Acts is the gospel and Jesus, the Son of God, and His redemption. If you didn't preach this clearly, then slowly the wolves will enter the church and even lead the church, and the Lord's sheep will become weak and wounded. And then when this happens, the Lord will surely bring out His own sheep. So today's theme is the theme I've set for the book of Acts. So every time the first message on the book, that is the theme. So the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. So I think this book shouldn't be the book of Acts, but should be the book of the Holy Spirit. But of course, we cannot see the Holy Spirit, but the work of the Holy Spirit comes on men. And men are all made from dust, and men are all weak. But even so, through us weak persons, the Holy Spirit uses us to do the great work of God so that the gospel can be brought to the ends of the world. So we humans, we cannot boast and we cannot over-beautify things. I have this cousin, he's a preacher also. He's also embarrassed. He's in a Pentecostal church. So he talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon people on Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. So he moved from a traditional church to Pentecostal church. So I asked him why the change. So he said, now in my church, every day is the day of Pentecost. Now the day of Pentecost appears in front of me. So I asked him, do you see the dead resurrecting every day? So they just say, everybody speak in tongues and Holy Spirit comes and be filled and fill everyone. And everybody just bless and each other and give testimony to each and witness to each other. I'm not saying such things won't happen. But you have to ask, is the book of Acts something we should imitate after reading? But after you read the book of Acts, you must realize your own weakness, the church weaknesses also, and realize that the church needs the Lord, and the church needs to preach the gospel clearly, and the church needs to rely on the Holy Spirit instead of bringing out human methods, such that the church has a kind of man-made revival. Now, if you look at the book of Acts, those who entered the church, they came to the church because the apostles, they preached the true and full gospel, and so they are born again and they repented, and that's why they came to the church. It's not coming to the church through a lot of man-made methods. But if you do not know the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, then you will misunderstand what God wants to do in the modern church today, and you will bring out a lot of counterfeit products, and you made up a lot of teachings, and so the power of the Holy Spirit is made perfect on us weak people. Sometimes the strongest work of the Holy Spirit is when we cannot feel it at all. Sometimes it happened that way. In the book of Acts, they faced persecutions and they were scattered, and the church seemed to be at risk, and there seemed to be a crisis for the church, and there seemed to be divisions in the church. But in fact, that leads to the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles. And when you read toward the end of the book of Acts, it's not very spectacular conclusion, but you read about Paul being imprisoned for 2 years. Then so he's being chained in his hands and legs, and Roman soldiers watch over him. But in that 2 years when he was imprisoned, amazingly, he received everyone who would like to meet him. Those who are not so clear about Christianity and the religion of this Nazarene. And so Paul explained the gospel of heaven to those people. So in Rome, in that 2 years, Paul influenced not just lay persons, but if you look at the book of Philippians, Paul said that even the whole royal family and camp, they also know why Paul was being chained like this. So they also, so the royal people, they also got curious, why was Paul chained and imprisoned in that way? And so the gospel started to be spread from Rome, and through all the routes of Rome, the gospel was being spread all over the place. And that's how you and I can know this gospel today. Now, which great person can do this? This is the all-powerful Holy Spirit, and no one can oppose, can go against the work of the Holy Spirit. So, dear brothers and sisters, we must really know that right now in this pandemic, if we submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in fact, the gospel will be preached all the more faster. You forward the gospel message. Now we cannot go overseas, and you just spend the time with your family. You are led by the Holy Spirit. You adjust your attitudes and you pray for your family. Then after the pandemic, amazingly, what you cannot imagine. You thought the whole earth have been slowed down, or the church has been slowed down. Many churches have not been open. Of course, if they shouldn't be open, they should remain closed, because otherwise they bring about a lot of messy teachings and programs. But those who want to preach the gospel clearly, they will know that God wants to open their church. and you continue to preach the message of the truth, then after the pandemic, you see that those whom you love, they also come into the midst of the church. And after the end of the pandemic, you will realize that we are such a small church, but this pulpit message will be heard by many people all over the world, and the doors of evangelism will be open. Now, I say again, sometimes the strongest and most intense work of the Holy Spirit cannot be felt by us because we like spectacular things. But Holy Spirit, when He works, is even faster than when the whole world works for 100 years. So we must really understand the great work that God is already doing in our midst. But if no one sees, no one will follow. But even if you didn't see and didn't follow, God continues doing His work. But it's a pity for you because you are unable to participate in God's grand work in the end times. So we need a lot of reformation. We need to recognize the invisible work of God, and we must follow Him closely. So, to summarize what I need to say, let's come back to the book of Acts. So now, who is the author? Now, we know the author of the book of Acts is Luke. So those of us who can attend church at 9 o'clock, I don't think you are lay believers, because new believers, you may just be sleeping at home. So faith with people with weak faith certainly will not come for 9 o'clock service. So my prayer for this church is the most earnest for 9 o'clock, because we have to wake up very early to see the Lord on the first day of the week. So Luke was the author of the book of Acts and Luke. So who is this person? He's a doctor. He's also a very good assistant to Paul. So he's an ambassador of the early church. So the book of Luke and the book of Acts reportedly, both the books were written together. And I also believe that. So from the theological point of view and the writing style is from the same person. And so the book of Luke and the book of Acts, when we asked, around what time were they written? So some people say it's AD 60s. Some people say it's AD 80s. Or after the passing of Paul, and some people said that it could be AD 100 year. So there's a lot of contention, and scholars like to research into this. We need to roughly know, in my view, and I think I don't say that is I don't say it's absolutely the case, but I believe that this book was being written between AD 60 to AD 62, because that was when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. So Luke had been following Paul for half his itineraries, all the way till Paul was imprisoned in Rome. So Paul was imprisoned, but Luke could move around freely. So Luke was a doctor. So doctor, he wouldn't write anyhow, and he would just write by evidences. So back then, those who have ever seen the Lord resurrected, and so there's about 500 witnesses who have seen the resurrected Lord. So Luke himself is not first-hand witness. He had never seen Jesus with his own eyes. So he wrote the book of Luke all by the accounts of witnesses. He interviewed them. He studied those things. And then, on top of that, in the book of Acts, he followed the apostles, and he recorded all the encounters and the mission work of Paul, and he unite all these things, and he wrote the books of Luke and Acts. Why AD 60 to 62? I have another reason. Why is it not after this period? You must understand that AD 64 to AD 70, there's two important incidents which happened. AD 64 is what happened. Is the Roman Emperor Nero set a huge fire, and he blamed it on the Christians. And so from then on, persecutions of the Christians started. And so Paul was being martyred at AD 64. So such a major incident where all the Christians under the Roman Empire were being persecuted. That happened in AD 64. And then in AD 70, the Roman soldiers destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem, including the temple of Jerusalem. And so the Jews and the Israelites, they were all scattered. And that happened in AD 70. So AD 64, there's a great fire and great persecution. AD 70, the entire Jerusalem and Israelite premises were being destroyed. So both these incidents, whether it's for the Christians or for the Jews, these are very major events. And yet, both these events were not recorded in the book of Luke and Acts. So that shows that the accounts of the Luke and Acts must happen before AD 64. And so it's very likely that these books were written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. So when we talk about the authenticity and reliability of the book of Acts, now a lot of historians and people who study archaeology, they affirm the authenticity and reliability of what's recorded in the book of Acts. For example, the accounts of Ephesus, Thessalonica, Philippi, the cities, the temples, the theaters, the landmarks, and all kinds of figures, officials, people, and the leaders being recorded has been affirmed by historians and those people who study archaeology. So, Christianity has historical proof. It's not just by our zeal that we believe, because your zeal must be affirmed by history, then it's true. So the book of Acts talk about real person and real incidents. Paul was being also stood trial under Felix and Agrippa, and then all this has been affirmed by historians. So these are not made up incidents. And today we don't have much time, but we just read briefly about the purpose of why Luke wrote these two books. Now, Luke chapter 1, many have undertaken to draw up. Now, Your Excellence Theophilus. So first, he wrote Luke. Now many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us. So this talk about who? It talks about the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, because these two Gospels were written before the book of Luke. But now Luke once again wrote these things to Theophilus, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So he has already studied, and then he wrote the book of Luke. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So I mentioned that Luke was a doctor, and so he cared a lot about an orderly account and the truth and evidences. So he have investigated and studied things. So we may ask a question. Why didn't God use someone who has first-hand encounter with Jesus, and now he see with his own eyes the work of the apostles? So if this person have the first-hand encounter of Jesus and first-hand encounter with the apostles, and he wrote both the books, then isn't that more convincing? That's our human thought. But I tell you, that's God's wisdom. Because if Luke saw for himself personally what the Lord Jesus had done and what the apostles had done, from the point of view of Christians, you may think that's ideal, but to future generations and to people who are still exploring Christianity, they will not be convinced so much. Because this gospel has been preached for 2,000 years. Now, Luke is like the second generation believer. He didn't see for himself everything that Jesus had done, but he himself investigated, and he hear the testimonies of the first-hand witnesses and what Jesus had done and so on. He heard all those testimonies. And then now, he's a second generation believer, and he saw what Paul and Peter had done, and those things were what he personally saw. And what he personally saw and what he heard, he has to see whether they match, and they perfectly match. So it perfectly matches, and so he knows the certainty of the gospel. So he himself also wants to look for the truth. So he himself also wants to know the Jesus of Nazarene, his birth, his ministry, his death and resurrection, his ascension. Those are real accounts, real incidents. And that must fit with what he mentioned about the work of the Holy Spirit and the gospel being preached to Rome and to the ends of the world. And all these things must fit together. So it tells us of the future generation that today, even though it's 2,000 years after the early church, if you carefully investigate and study history and follow the Lord, and you follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, then you realize all these things will match also. So it's the same thing. Through one person, Luke, we must understand that God is a director. God also planned who should be the one writing all these books. So let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 1. So first chapter. So Theophilus was mentioned again. So in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So that refers to the book of Luke. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So he talked about the former book, and now he wrote about the work of the Holy Spirit after the ascension of Jesus Christ. So from the beginning of these two books, we know that these books were written to the same reader, which is Theophilus. And Theophilus means being loved by God or God lover. So it shows that this person is someone who seeks God. So maybe he's very curious about Christianity. But in the book of Luke, Theophilus was being addressed as Your Excellent. So scholars think that this Theophilus could be a high official in the Roman Empire. And he was curious about Christianity, and yet Christianity was very controversial back then. It's like a folk religion suddenly appeared, and so it brought about certain chaos, and some people, they saw miracles and they follow it. And so in the Roman society back then, it will create certain doubts, especially the high official. He may be curious, what exactly is this Christianity? Now, of course, Christianity is one of the five major religions. So now, Luke wrote to Theophilus, and he wrote from two points of view. For the first point of view is from a Christian citizen. Second point of view is from a Christian preacher. So listen carefully. So from the point of view of a Christian citizen, when he wrote the entire book of Acts, he's trying to bring out the fact that Christianity is harmless. Why harmless? Because even the Roman centurion also believed. Even the centurion who witnessed how Jesus died on the cross, he said, he is truly a righteous person. He didn't utter a single curse on the cross. It's all words of forgiveness and blessing. So the Roman centurion believed. And in the New Testament, Roman centurion Cornelius also believed. So he wanted to prove that do not be afraid. You know, Christianity is all right and harmless. And Christianity is also innocent. A lot of people want to push and put the blame on Christians. But when he wrote the book of Luke, he wanted to prove that Theophilus, you see, in the book of Luke, three times he recorded that Jesus was innocent. No one charged against him is true. And then Paul is now preaching the gospel of Christ all the way to Rome. And in this process, Paul underwent persecutions and stood trials. And he's being arrested in Jerusalem on Caesarea. And your governor, Felix, also judged him, but realized that he's innocent. So the apostles who preach Christ, he's innocent. So Luke was trying to prove that Christianity is not just harmless, it's also innocent. And also Christianity is lawful. It's not just a folk religion. Of course, the Jewish religion is already there, but Christianity is the fulfillment of the Jewish religion. But just because the Jews were hardened in their hearts and they refused to acknowledge, and so they rejected, and they even killed the Messiah sent by God. So the Jews keep wanting to cause an uprising. But in fact, Christianity is the fulfillment of the Jewish religion. So from a Christian citizen's point of view, he presented real evidences, real events and persons. He bring out all this before the high official in Rome. Now, sometimes we need to understand we live on earth. We need to explain things to unbeliever. So in the midst of this, Luke wanted to preach the gospel to this high official in Rome. This official is a person who thirsts for the truth. If he knows the gospel, he will bring about huge influence. So Luke also wrote with the identity as a Christian preacher. So Luke wants to talk to him about God's salvation. So the Lord persecuted by Jews is also the Lord that Apostle Paul preached about and preached all the way to Asia Minor, Rome. And for this reason, Paul was also in prison. And so actually Paul was preaching about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And other than him, there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. So this gospel of redemption, first of all, is given by God. And this gospel comes from Christ, the Son of God. No other name, only Jesus. So Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he rose and preached and said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and your sins will be forgiven, and you receive the Holy Spirit, which will be given to you." And so, first, the gospel comes from the gospel is given by God, and it comes from Christ. And second, and third, the gospel is given to all men and all tribes and all nations. Yet, and that just means that all men will hear the gospel, but who will be saved? But those who are called by God will be saved. So you will see that Acts chapter 2 verse 39, it says that the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, meaning all nations and all peoples, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And so Acts chapter 2 mentions this very clearly. So after you know the gospel breaks the barriers between Jews and Samaritans, Jews and Gentiles. How the Holy Spirit come upon the Jews also come upon Samaritans and Gentiles. So you must understand, the key work of the Holy Spirit, like people speaking tongues, there is a reason for it. It's not that every Christian will start to speak in tongues and see flames of tongues and so on. So you must know that eventually, toward the end of the book of Acts, Paul also performed lesser and lesser miracles. So I'm about to end. I want to say something very carefully. Because when people interpret and apply the book of Acts, many were not correct. So a lot of pastors and believers, they really yearn for the encounters and experiences in the book of Acts. So they've forgotten that from the book of Acts to today, our modern believers, in between this, they are like, there are 2,000 years. So when we read the book of Acts, and we say that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so what happened in the book of Acts must happen in our lives. Then from that point, that premise, you're already wrong. Because 2,000 years have since passed. So what happened in the book of Acts, if you directly apply it to our own lives and our own ministries, then if you go down that track, you will get into a wrong faith. Now, when we read the book of Acts, you must understand that some things are unique. For example, the day of Pentecost in the early church, when the Holy Spirit descends upon men, that's a unique incident. And the fires like tongues like fires descending on people, and people start to speak in tongue, and Peter stood up to preach, and 3,000 people believed. When you see such incidents, you must understand that is the birth of the church. So on that day, such thing happened. And I say again, that is a unique incident which will not be repeated. So we read this. The 2,000-year period wants to tell us that the same work of the Holy Spirit, yes, the same Spirit, Holy Spirit will come upon a person to make a person regenerated and to anoint people. But must it come in the way of the book of Acts, and such that we need to imitate and copy those kind of experiences? We must carefully ponder about these things. Also, the apostles were personally appointed by our Lord Jesus. They are the first generation teachers. They are the foundation of the entire church. And our faith is being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, what they have seen, what they have witnessed, and what they have written. So if you say the future generations, we must get the same encounter and same gifts. You must know that the miracles and wonders and signs that followed the apostles only come to the apostles because they want to write the revelation of God's word. So on their life, they must have such evidences and authority. They can make the dead came to life. It's not by themselves, but God makes them able to do it. But modern believers, they read about this and they pursue this kind of experiences. And by that, they totally misunderstood why God done those things back then. So if in today's modern time, an apostle claimed that he comes from God, then people will start to throw away the Bible and only listen to your revelation, you know, what happens in Afghanistan and when is Jesus coming. So sometimes I also object to people who always talk about the book of Revelation without reading the Bible carefully. Of course, the book of Revelation is the word of God, but if you ignore the first 65 books of the Bible, you just focus on Revelation, you start to become very weird. So in the entire book of Acts, some things happen once without repetition. So next, when we talk about book of Acts, we need to differentiate between the contents to teach versus just narrative contents. You know, there are things to teach about the correct thinking and how the Holy Spirit changed and transformed human hearts. So when a person have illness, must it happen in the way that the apostle did? And when a person is possessed, must the demons be driven out in a way where, you know, the person spit out white foam and so on? No. So actually, you must know that some people, they came to cast out demons to the church every day. But actually, he himself is the demon because the spirit of anger, envy, and jealousy is in him. But he come to the church to cast out demons every day. But he didn't realize that he himself is full of unbelief toward God. And he's living in lies. And he pursue all those things to, you know, command the rain and the storm in the church. But go home, he quarrel with his wife, and his life is very messy. But every day he just call upon the Holy Spirit. But in fact, the work of the devil fuels his life. So we need to differentiate what are the contents to teach versus what are just narrative information. And so when we talk about the book of Acts, you must ask, some incidents, must you imitate? For example, in the book of Acts, when they choose another apostle, they cast lots. Are we going to cast lots now when we choose an elder? Are we do that? And then in the book of Acts, you know, they share everything in common. Now if I ask you to sell your property and donate the money to God, and use and share with everyone, are you going to do it? If you say that Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why not you do the same as the book of Acts? So we really must ask. Some things that the people did back then in the book of Acts is because the Holy Spirit has given them specific instructions, but it's only applicable back then. Versus right now, when we encounter the Holy Spirit, what we need to do by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you must know that it will be different. You must not learn methods. What you must receive is the Holy Spirit. What you must know is that it is the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms people's heart and guiding us. So, especially charismatic churches need to be careful. Now, there's a lot of messy things in the church right now. Let me say again. If you misunderstood the work of the Holy Spirit and you treat the work of the evil spirit as the work of the Holy Spirit and you keep pursuing that and advocating that, you will surely destroy the church of God and you will shipwreck your own faith. So when I want to preach the book of Acts, this is my intention, to preach it correctly. Actually, you should understand the book of Acts clearly before you talk about the book of Revelation. Now, I've run out of time, but let's pray. If those of you have not read the book of Acts, please read the 28 chapters of the book of Acts before you come next time. Let's read. Lord, we thank you. In the human's limited time, you have given us your word. And we are thankful. We know that it is your greatness who have fulfilled this, and that causes your gospel to be preached ceaselessly from the early church till now. And your faithful servants who know your word, they follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and they finish your work generation after generation, and now the baton is being passed to us. Lord, please help us to clearly understand what the Lord is doing on us and in our generation, so that we will not misunderstand or distort the grand work of God. Lord, the Holy Spirit works wonderfully in human hearts. Let us not replace it with outward things. Especially in the end times, there's a lot of deceiving teachings. Lord, please help the church. Today, in the limited time and eloquence of your servant, may your Holy Spirit continue to work in our hearts to stir up our thirst for your word. And as we read through the 28 chapters of the book of Acts, please do unprecedented work in our lives. And we anticipate you, and we commit the 9 o'clock service into your hands. And especially during this pandemic, when the pandemic seems severe, Lord, this group of people still thirst for your word and come into your church. The people of the world cannot understand, but to us, this is something so necessary. Lord, please keep this church and keep everyone safe. Lord, please be with your church and be with everyone who preach your word. Lord, we give thanks and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.